No surprises in Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast. And that forecast is coming up on today's Hoosier Ag Today podcast for the 15th of October, 2025. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric Pfeiffer with the latest Indiana Farm news, weather, and markets, all brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Find them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Also coming up on today's podcast, in the news, Greg Allen and CJ Miller talk about the biggest soybean yield robber out there and making sure that your voice is heard when a big trade deal gets renegotiated here soon. And we have a chat today with Arlen Suderman at Stone X. He says this is more than just soybeans going to China. This is a national security issue. He explains why coming up on the Hat Podcast. The news is next.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Thinking about next year and farmers' push to be heard. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. Even though it's harvest season, it's not too soon to start thinking about next year's crops. CJ Miller has more for soybean producers on protecting next year's yields.
I think SCN is continually going to be one of those key challenges that growers are facing, stealing over $1.5 billion of revenue of yield.
And that's Jeremiah Mullick, product manager for seed treatment with BASF, talking about soybean cyst nematodes, or SCN. October is SCN Action Month, and since now is the best time to conduct your soil sampling, he says that's one of the keys to managing this damaging pest.
In our BASF sampling, the last few years, we've had over 6,000 plus samples, and we've detected SCN in over 80% of those fields. So really, this problem is widespread and abundant, but often that yield loss is invisible. So I think this is a great time to proactively build a plan for the 2026 season.
He says another key to tackling SCN is by using a seed treatment that's available from BASF called Elevo. It also provides protection against sudden death syndrome.
So our average yield benefits we see with Elevo in a nematode-only environment between 2 to 4 bushel yield gains. Whenever you actually detect and have above-ground symptomology of the SDS, we're upwards of 4 to 10 bushel yield gains. So when you think of challenging economic times, one way to offset lower commodity prices is to produce more bushels. Elevo is a great solution to actually demonstrate that positive ROI for increasing revenue through increased production with Elevo.
Learn more about Elevo seed treatment at agriculture.basf.us. You can also find that link at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Stop overspending on fertilizer. Biocast Max by BW Fusion helps growers cut up to a total 65 pounds of collective nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium per acre without sacrificing yield. Biocast Max is engineered to release nutrients that already exist in your soil, saving you up to $24 per acre. With Biocast Max, you put less in and get more out. This is how we farm now.
Learn more at www.bw-fusion.com/biocastmax.
With a major international trade deal heading for review, U.S. farmers are pushing to make sure their voices are heard. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA, is up for a mandatory review in 2026. But already, agricultural leaders are calling on lawmakers to ensure farmers and ranchers play a central role in that process. Nebraska Congressman Adrian Smith wants to shorten the process.
Looking at this biotech corn dispute, now the Biden administration took 2 years to decide to formulate the panel for the dispute, and then that process took 2 years, including some months for language interpretation, and I would say there's an app for that. We shouldn't need that much time, and that some of my input moving forward is let's shorten that process.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is rolling out a new three-part trade strategy to strengthen global markets for American ag products. The new plan includes rapid response trade missions to high-potential markets, updated export financing tools for small and medium-sized ag businesses, and a broader push to reduce non-tariff trade barriers. According to USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, Luke Lindberg,
farmers are winning because agreements like this are in place. And there's a lot more big wins on the horizon.
Find these stories and more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at directenterprises.com. That's directenterprises.com.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. No surprises for you here today. We're looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine for your Wednesday. Watching a minor disturbance fall apart coming out of southern Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, northeastern parts of Illinois. Trying to move into our neck of the woods, but running into a high pressure dome. I liken this to your dog wanting to cuddle up with you under a blanket that you have over you. What's he do? Comes up, takes his nose, roots underneath, flips that blanket in the air and tries to work underneath it. That's what precipitation is doing with high pressure. It will not succeed. Just like your dog won't succeed if you don't want him under the blanket with you. So this high-pressure dome is going to dominate, I think, through Thursday over the entirety of the Great Lakes. The cloud cover today, more a factor in northern Indiana than the south, and it won't be here much past mid to late morning. I think we have a wide-open dry harvest window through this afternoon, through tomorrow, through most of Friday. Friday is interesting, though, because we have a disturbance trying to come through Michigan. Plenty of clouds and hit-and-miss scattered showers up there, and that will mean northern tier counties once again can see some offshoot cloud cover. I am not too concerned about precipitation. I think it's too dry down here to get any of this little bitty stuff to hold together, but watch for a spit or a sprinkle right along the Indiana-Michigan line. Nobody else has to go into that concern with any kind of thoughts of true moisture coming together. Saturday is a transition day, though. Saturday will see clouds increase. Maybe we're dry in the morning, but we're starting to see rain showers move into west and northwestern parts of Indiana by mid-afternoon. Then we have a rain overnight Saturday night right on through Sunday, anywhere from a quarter to 1.25 inches with coverage at nearly 100% of the Hoosier State. Behind it, we are dry for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, and I think we stay dry Thursday, Friday. Big low pressure area to the north, big low pressure area to the south, but it straddles us. I don't look for us to have any significant precipitation all the way through that week of the 20th, but we do see significant cold air diving in, a big Canadian high pressure dome to finish the week, the 24th into the 25th. This is where I feel we're looking at our frost and freeze finally coming together here. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Seed Genetics Direct is proud to announce their new 2026 seed guide is now available for viewing at seedgeneticsdirect.com. They've added three new powerful hybrids to their corn lineup, along with seven new soybean releases, including one that shows natural resistance to white mold. There's lots to be excited about for the 2026 growing season. View the Seed Genetics Direct seed guide online and make your shopping list today. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The
grain markets finished mixed but near even. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review. Final numbers from Tuesday trade coming in just moments, but right now let's get market analysis. And for that, we head to StoneX. Arlen Suderman is there. And Arlen, here on Tuesday, we did see some things bounce around a little bit in the overnight session. Monday night into Tuesday, it was a sell-off. It was pretty risk-off at that time. Things did come off their lows and really kind of back to where we started for the most part for corn, soybeans, and wheat. What say you?
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. I think the overnight trade, a lot of foreign trading there, pretty panicked. The algos were about the port fees going into play. That's largely been known now for months here on U.S. fees. And it was assumed that China would retaliate with some fees as well, which they announced this week. So not really anything new there. I think the real story impacting things is the rare earth minerals and magnets story that China has a monopoly on in the world and are restricting. But the grain and oil seeds and frankly, even the financial markets really don't know how to handle that. So it leaves us kind of drifting and everyone hoping that at the end of the month, President Trump and President Xi will get together in Seoul, South Korea during the APEC conference and sing kumbaya together and everything will be good.
But we know that there's a very good chance that may not happen. It's really just who knows at this point other than maybe President Trump and President Xi, and I don't even know that they know. You've discussed this before, Arlen, but I want to get really deep into this here. You talk about the rare earth minerals, the magnets. This is a wider conversation than just what China is doing to our soybean market, for example. This has national security implications, and that's why we think this might go on for a little while.
Yeah, exactly right. It's why I've been skeptical that we would get a trade agreement. I hated to be negative over this past year, but I was real skeptical. And it goes back to China's and President Xi's stated goal of being the number one military and the number one economy in the world. He sees those two as intertwined and inseparable. And several things he's trying to do in that goal. He believes the United States has a top economy because after World War II, we've had the global currency. The dollar has been the global currency. So he wants to pull down and drag down the dollar and replace it with the yuan. And he's not been very successful doing that. So now he's trying to force other countries to adopt the yuan who they do business with. But when it comes to military, and really to the economic growth being number one, we've become a very high-tech electronic economy, not only us, but much of the world. Essential in that are rare earth minerals. Most people don't really understand what rare earth minerals are, but they're essential components to all that electronics and the batteries, et cetera. But not only for the production of cell phones and airplane engines and automobiles, but also for our military defense weapons. We saw those in display when U.S. attacked Iran earlier this year and how impressive that was and how quickly we were able to end that conflict between Israel and Iran with that because of the high-tech nature of it. And that is the key component here. Well, rare earth minerals and magnets are essential for all of that, both for their economic development and for military defense. China, over the years, has come to control 90% of the Earth's rare earth minerals, largely because the rest of the world has said they're too expensive to process, they're too environmentally dirty to process, so we'll let you do it, China. And China was happy to do it because they had the division of this. 30 years ago, they bought a U.S. company that did this, and we granted approval on the condition that they keep it open for 5 years. They kept it open for 5 years and a day, shut it down. They've done this all over the world, particularly over the last 20 years. Now they have the monopoly on it. And I've been saying our last 6 months, a day is coming when they're going to use that. And this week they did that, or last week they did that. And so that's what President Trump is responding to, because if we don't have those materials to make defense weapons, we cannot protect ourselves, and neither can other Western countries either.
This is such a much wider conversation than just soybeans here in America and where they go, and China obviously a big market for that. But I guess, you know, from the market side of this, and soybeans in particular,
we may be a bit hopeful that during this time of no reporting from USDA, maybe they did buy some, but I don't know. Is there any hint to that at this point, Arlen?
The only reason I can see for them to buy some would be as a goodwill gesture, which they've done in past years sometimes. But when you do goodwill gesture buying, you usually want it to be publicly known. And so they would have made it known, I think, if they would have done so. They're still short about 10 million metric tons of needs to be filled for November to December and January shipment. They could still come in and purchase that from us, but they have more than about 4.5 times that in the reserves right now. And so they could also pull from their reserves. They don't have to buy from us. So right now, they're putting the hurt to President Trump's strongest support base in order to try to give him to ease up on access to our consumer market. But President Trump is threatening to shut off that consumer market if they don't share rare earth minerals with us. I should add here that President Trump last week, and I think this is part of the timing of why China chose now in order to invoke the restrictions on rare earth minerals and magnets. You recall the fast track or the warp speed process that they used in 2020 to bring vaccines to the American public for COVID. Whether you like that or not, it was a very impressive process of trying to get vaccines approved very rapidly. They're applying the same process to allowing companies to mine and mineral and process rare earth minerals in the United States and Greenland right now, with the U.S. government investing last week in 5 companies to do so.
From a market standpoint here, Arlen, as we look at corn, soybeans, and wheat, are we finding some levels of support here as well from a technical standpoint? As all of this happens, we've got the federal government shut down, we've got the tensions with China. It seems to me like maybe soybeans, we're finding some support at this $10 mark. Wheat, the $5 mark. Does that have anything to do with what's happening right now as well?
Well, and you're right on that. When you look at corn, it's a 50% retracement of the August low to the September high where we're at, where we touched today, essentially. So those are areas that we need to pay attention to. There are psychological levels as well as chart technical levels. If we break below that, that can trigger some more selling. So we're very vulnerable right now, and hopefully we'll be able to right ship and turn things around.
Arlen, talk to me about livestock and where we're at right now. Again, we're seeing cattle do pretty well here today. Hogs, not so much.
Yeah, we continue kind of be in a liquidation phase, and hogs, what had been record speculative ownership in the hog market. And now we have fears of increasing supplies here over the next couple of months that are causing the funds to kind of liquidate their positions and take profits. On the cattle side, we bounced off support last week, and then we have found more support in the cash market. Cash market continues to be strong. Expectations it'll be strong again this week, and that's fueling the speculative buying there. We do anticipate that we're going to see the chain speed pulled back and slowed down again this week as the margins are getting pretty deep in the red for the packers. But that means they're still fighting over the supplies that are there, and those supplies are expected to remain tight for quite some time.
Arlen Suderman there, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X. On Tuesday, December corn up 2.25, 413, 429 and a quarter on the March, up 2.25 lower on November soybeans, 1006.5, 1024.25 on the January contract, down 1 cent. December wheat up 3.5, just over $5. In livestock, December live cattle up $1.75 to $2.46.50 and down $1.70 on December lean hogs to $83.15. That does it for the Tuesday Farm Market Review and the Wednesday Morning Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow. Same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.